Man, I don't even know where to begin. I've got so much information on this. I was up last night well past Denny's bedtime doing my homework, finding out as much as I could, going through some unbelievable stuff. A Time magazine article from 1991, The Thriving Cult of Greed and Power. Now, don't call up and start saying, hey, Denny said it was a cult. I haven't done that yet. Those are the words of Time magazine. Another story from the New York Times. The shadowy story behind Scientology's tax-exempt status. Read that story. It's like, okay, somebody got to the IRS. That's the only conclusion I can come up with. I know Glenn has had some people on from the Scientology Center. I think it was in Washington. He had somebody on who follows questionable religions, or shall you call them cults? Whatever. I'm taking a different tactic. I have a gentleman on the line. His name is Michael Tilsey, and Michael was in Scientology or Hubbardology for 27 years. Michael, good morning. I appreciate you getting up so darn early to play along with us here on the national syndicated show, the Glenn Beck Program. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing great.
Are you surprised, first off, with all the attention Scientology has been getting in the last couple, 3 weeks with the whole Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes deal?
I am surprised a little bit, but on the other hand, it just sort of had to be inevitable when one of the high-profile members sort of went nuts, you know, in the public eye, and that's the kind of thing that brings a lot of attention to it, and it's far more attention than, frankly, most of the people who have been trying to expose Scientology have been able to do for a while.
But he wasn't going nuts over Scientology. He was going nuts over his new young girlfriend from, ironically enough, Toledo, Ohio, where this show was originating from today, where I currently broadcast. He was going nuts over his new love, and what 42-year-old man wouldn't be going gaga over his 26-year-old, you know, very attractive-looking girlfriend?
Well, you're right. If I had a, 26-year-old girlfriend, I'd probably, be really happy also. I think the thing that frightens people is that it's almost a manic kind of, expression of whatever is his expression, and that Scientology, which they sort of heard of, connected to, a lot of negative things, now connected to Katie Holmes, which is, she's a wonderful, very ingenue-type actress, person, beloved, and they just don't want to see her despoiled.
Which is why I talk about it a lot on my afternoon show on WSBD in Toledo. Her parents went gaga. Well, her dad went nuts because she's dating Tom Cruise, and he sounded like a giddy schoolgirl who gets Teen Magazine and can't wait for it to show up. And I think that they need to open up their eyes to what their daughter's getting involved in. You know, not that Tom Cruise is a bad guy, but Scientology needs to be explored by his family, and it's becoming now more mainstream, and I think that people need to educate themselves of what it's all about, which is why we have you on the show. You were in Scientology for Hubbardology for 27 years.
Yes.
And at what age did you get involved, and take us through the circumstances of how that came to be?
Well, I was still in college in 1975, and I was 22. I was in San Francisco going to San Francisco Art Institute, and I was wandering around. I frankly had emotional problems at that time in my life, and I was, curious about different things, different religions. I felt that I was kind of open to things, and one day I was downtown, and I got what they call body routed, which is basically getting people off the street to come into the organization. And they asked me if I wanted to learn to communicate better, and of course I did. So I went up and took their personality test, which is one of their standard ways of, pulling people in, and was told that I had all these problems after doing the test, and that if I did some kind of beginning course, I could learn to communicate better and solve some of my problems. And so that's how I got started.
So you immediately got involved, and did it cost you anything right out of the box?
Oh, yeah. It cost me $25 to do the communication course. I don't know. It's probably $100 now. But
okay. And then where did it go from there?
Well, for me, because I didn't have a lot of money at the time, I dropped out of school and decided to join staff, which is working in a Scientology organization for basically next to nothing.
So is that what normally happens with people that can't give a lot of money or donate a lot of money? They go on staff. They're basically, just employees then.
Well, there's a certain amount of the people who get introduced to Scientology who do that, yes.
So 27. So this is the first within the first few months of Scientology. You're now an employee.
Right. I went in October to do the communication course, and by February I was basically working 40 hours a week for $2 to $10.
$2 to $10 for the week or per hour?
For the week.
Okay, but you were getting all their treatments, so to speak, for free, correct?
Oh no, I wasn't actually. What happens is when you go to work for them, they actually make you do a lot of courses to learn how to be a staff member. And sometimes it takes you a year or 6 months to learn to do all that. And then you have to learn to do your specific position that they're training you for. And then that can take a while. And then you can get moved around to other positions. And really inside, they say, well, you only get the free stuff once you're fully trained. Well, a lot of folks never get fully trained for their position. A lot of folks never get any kind of free service. I did get a little bit after I was there for 3 or 4 months.
All right, we're talking to Michael Tilsey on the Glenn Beck Program. He's an ex-Scientologist / Hubbardologist. 27 years. How many years into it before you saw your first red flag that something isn't right, and what was it?
I guess the biggest thing was the FBI raid on the Scientology headquarters where I was at in 1978. And that was actually July, practically almost the same date, in 1978.
And what was the FBI looking for? And was this the one in Los Angeles? Or?
Yes, this was in Los Angeles. I was at the Big Blue place in Hollywood where they have a lot of their stuff. The FBI was looking for evidence of crimes, evidence of break-ins, evidence of infiltration of government agencies, evidence of stealing confidential government documents.
People that want to read about some of this stuff, there is a story that's up on the internet. You have to go find it. It's called The Thriving Cult of Greed and Power, Time Magazine, back in 1991. And it talks about this and some of the crimes that may have been committed, intimidation, a lot of other things. So that was the red flag, and that was in the 70s. But then you didn't leave until just a couple of years ago, correct?
Right.
So were you, is there a... And I know people aren't going to like this, but I'm saying it anyway. Is there a brainwashing process? Because here you are in the 70s, and then it wasn't until just a couple of years ago you left. Were they trying to brainwash you in a way that you would think like them and you wouldn't question what they said?
Oh, yeah. There is a brainwashing process, and it basically involves several factors, one of which is that you're idealistic and you want this to be true. You want, what you're doing in Scientology to be the savior of mankind and to be the savior of the universe, and so you want to believe in it. Then Scientology itself tells you that it is the savior, and it tells you that if you start looking outside or doubting it, then you won't be able to contribute to this, and you'll actually damage the possibility that it will be able to do what it's supposed to do. So you start limiting yourself. You start limiting your ability to look outside Scientology for any kind of information. If anything like the red flag of the FBI raids, I was in the middle of them, right? I was running around hiding documents while the FBI were raiding the place. And, even though it was a red flag to me, I bought their whole internal PR that these guys were just trying to put Scientology out of business because they didn't want mankind to go free. That's the internal PR that a Scientologist is given whenever there's any kind of activity from outside that would threaten it. If it's the FBI, if it's some court case, if it's some ex-member suing Scientology, all the internal Scientologists are told, well, this guy is against freedom. He can't stand it himself. He's committed crimes himself, and so that's why this guy is doing it. They don't tell you that Scientology drove him out of business or drove him crazy or in the case of the FBI, that they had infiltrated government offices and stolen documents and forged IDs to do that, and or with Paulette Cooper, like they had forged forged a bomb threat as if it came from her by getting her fingerprints on a piece of stationery and then forging a letter on it saying a bomb threat. They almost got Paulette Cooper put in jail because of this. And
sounds like a pretty decent religion to be involved in. Let me ask you this: did you ever meet L. Ron Hubbard? Because he died what, in 86, and you were there in the 70s. Did you ever meet L. Ron Hubbard, the guy who started Scientology / Hubbardology back in 1954? Did you meet him?
I didn't meet him. I had correspondence with him, however, on some projects I was working on when I was in the staff.
You talked to him like telephone or something?
Not by telephone, by written dispatch. He would write his stuff on thin blue paper, and it was in his handwriting.
Was he worshipped by the people back then when he was around?
Yes. Fundamentally, he is worshipped. I mean, every time you go in and do a Scientology course, at the end of every evening, everybody stands up and claps for him. Every organization has a little office for L. Ron Hubbard, which is essentially a shrine. And though they say to their membership, no, we don't worship him, in many, many aspects, it frankly is worship.
And is it still that way today? I mean,
absolutely.
It was just, what, 2 years ago you left Scientology?
It's getting on towards 3 now.
Almost 3 years ago, and it's still the same. They worship this guy. When did you start? How long of a process did it take for you to finally get out? I mean, did it take a couple of years, or did you finally say, this is bogus? Tell me that story.
Well, I look at it as having taken me almost 10 years to really wake up. It started basically in the early 90s when I was working for a Scientologist who wouldn't pay me. He was completely unethical as a businessman, and he wound up not having any money to pay his employees. And I had put in, you know, a month's worth of work, and he wouldn't pay me. Well, when I went to the Scientologist, internally to the church, because you're not allowed to take another Scientologist to court. That's one of the things that they kind of hide about the Scientology justice system, is that you have to handle anything like that that could be potentially legal internal to the cult so that it doesn't expose Scientology into the court system. Well, they wouldn't fix it. You know, I mean, this guy basically got away with it for months of not paying me, and then when they did direct him to pay me, they gave him like 3 or 4 months overtime to pay me. And I was just livid. I couldn't believe it, because this kind of treatment of me was completely against the supposed policies that I had learned being on a staff member and being a Scientologist. It was against the stuff that I thought Hubbard had written. Well, I tried to go up the chain of command in Scientology to get this fixed, you know, to get somebody to say, hey, yeah, you're right, you know, it should have been done this way because that would be correct according to the internal policies of the cult.
All right, Michael, hold on. Wow, that's just fascinating. And we're going to talk more with Michael Tilsey, an ex-Scientologist, 27 years involved, and get his opinions on the belief system and why it's so confusing and all that, and some of your phone calls at 888-727-BECK. I'm Denny Schaefer, and this is the Glenn Beck Program. Friends on vacation, my name is Denny Schaefer. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're talking to Michael Tilsey, an ex-Hubbardologist. He was involved in Scientology for 27 years. First got involved when he didn't have any money. They suggested that he come work for $2 to $10 a week, and it took him about 10 years to get out of the. You mentioned it, a cult. Let me ask you a question. Why do you believe that Scientology is a cult, Michael Tilsey?
It's a cult because it fits the characteristics of a cult. It has the things where, number one, you're isolated from family, friends, and information about the cult. And that's one of the major factors of a cult. Robert Lifton actually set out a kind of checklist of things that you could look for to determine whether something is a cult or not. Scientology isn't obviously the only cult out there. There's a lot of different cults, and just because someone is fervent about something doesn't necessarily mean that what he's involved in is a cult. But Scientology isolates you. It controls you in terms of mentally you get so aligned with their program that you can't think outside of it.
Problem with this Scientology / Hubbardology is Tom Cruise, one of the biggest box office draws in the world, you know, John Travolta, Kirstie Alley, you know, whatever. There are some people that have embraced this way of living, and I think people will be drawn to that because Tom Cruise is now more outspoken about it at all, and that's why it's so dangerous, and I think it's important that people get all the information. So in the 27 years you were involved, how much money did you give to Scientology?
I gave them over $200,000 of my own money. In some years, I gave them actually over 50% of my income.
And was that required of you to do, or did they just strongly suggest it?
They have what's called fixed donations. In other words, it's a quid pro quo setup where if you want to do a particular service, you pay a specific amount of money for it. And of course, like any sales program, they have discounts, and they have, if you buy a lot of them, you get another discount and that kind of thing. But you got to pay cash up front before you do one of these things, whether it be the counseling, whether it be a training course, whatever.
When you were involved in Los Angeles, did you meet any celebrities? Any big name celebrities? Because I know Tom Cruise didn't get involved until like 1990, so you wouldn't have been there then. But have you met any celebrities that are involved in Scientology?
I met Jenna Elfman just briefly. I met Charles Lakes when he was in Scientology, while they were using him up prior to the Olympics.
Okay, can you give me, because it seems like it's a mystery of what Hubbardologists believe. It just seems like it's very secretive, which to me is a red flag right there that you're involved in something that may not be in the up and up. Can you give me a Reader's Digest version of what Scientologists believe?
Scientologists believe that things that happened to you in the past and way in the past, that like millions of years ago or thousands of years ago during your previous lives, affect you today, and then in order to handle that so that you're not affected by it, you have to remember those things and go over and over them again until they go away. And that's kind of a publicly known belief. But then there's the confidential upper levels, which sort of take that further into a real science fiction kind of thing.
All right, so they believe in reincarnation at the basic level. Tell me about the upper level and what they believe.
The upper level stuff, which is in Hubbard's handwriting, and actually in Scientology, you have to read it in Hubbard's handwriting because it's so fantastic, is that you learn that 75 million years ago, all these people and all these planets in this galaxy were massacred by an evil overlord named Xenu. They were taken to Earth, they were blown up with hydrogen bombs, and they were implanted mentally with pictures of society, like religion and trains and the images like of Christianity, such as the man on the cross and things like how airplanes work and how the society sort of is structured, and that those implants of the concepts of religion are actually the things that cause us now to form these things in our society, that they don't actually have a reality other than we're sort of playing out this program that was put in us 75 million years ago. And all these dead people that were exploded in the hydrogen bombs now form clusters and stick to your bodies and are in your bodies and are the things that cause you problems. So in order to remove your problems, you have to exorcise these dead beings from your body. It's a kind of self-exorcism, and you have to do it for years.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds pretty reasonable. Now, there's different operating levels. Tell me what those are and what it means.
Well, one of the things is Scientology is very structured. There's what they call the bridge to total freedom, and it starts from, you know, when you walk in the door, and then it goes all the way up through several different levels, which they call release levels, which sort of end at clear, which supposedly you've cleared your reactive mind and you have a great memory and you're really healthy and all this kind of stuff. And then you go upwards from that into what are called the operating Thetan levels. And operating means basically that you as a spiritual being could directly control time or directly control matter, directly control energy. It's sort of the thoughts of psychokinesis and telekinesis and telepathy and those kind of things that people imagine. So you go up through these levels, and there's eight of those levels up from clear.
Where is Tom Cruise? What level is he?
It's pretty well recognized that he has been announced as being on four, and people have reported that he's on seven.
So he's halfway to, okay, so he could be closer to eight where he becomes whatever. And what does it cost? What kind of money do you think Tom Cruise has put in? Just guessing, because there's no way to really know, but go ahead.
Probably at least $500,000 just for his courses. Although, as a celebrity, because Scientology targets celebrities. Celebrity doesn't experience what the normal Scientologists experience. They give a lot of free stuff to celebrities. A normal Scientologist would pay probably close to $400,000 just to get up to OT7 where Tom Cruise is.
And he's getting a free ride because they can use his name. And, boy, he's been all over the place. As a matter of fact, when we come back, did you happen to see the Matt Lauer and Tom Cruise little debate recently on the Today Show?
I read some transcripts of it.
Well, I watched it again this morning, and I have Tom talking about Scientology. And when we come back here shortly, I'm going to play it for you and get your thoughts on it. We're talking to Michael Tilsey, an ex-Scientologist. Michael, what would you say to somebody who's involved in Scientology right now? What would you say to him?
I would say the things that you observe that don't make sense to you, that are wrong, are things that you need to investigate. You need to actually be, you know, have some intestinal fortitude and actually find out what's going on with these things that don't make sense to you. These things like Hubbard's death or all the scams that get run on Scientologists where they, you know, they're in multi-level marketing and they lose money or somebody rips them off. Those things are part and parcel of why the organization is evil, and you need to investigate them and you need to understand both sides.
Michael, hold on. Michael Tilsey will, this is fascinating stuff from a guy who was actually involved for 27 years. We'll also get to some phone calls, so don't move. My name is Denny Schaefer, and you are listening to the Glenn Beck Program.